Can't you see it? The world running on EVs and renewable energy? Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you. So listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, Justin Herbert and the if he had weapons, if he this, if he that, will still live on because him, the Chargers, Jim Harbaugh, in a game that everybody felt like they were expected to win. I mean, I was saying weeks ago, well, if you want to go anywhere to start your playoff run, you want to go to Houston. I mean, we've seen what the Texans look like lately. My God. And he goes and throws more interceptions in one game than he had all season long. Now, granted, I will give one of those to Will Dissly, who had two drops in the game
crazy
yesterday.
Drops. We're whooping his ass in the locker room when we get back in there. For real. Like, one of those drops could have been a touchdown. So
yes. Yeah.
Like it would affect the final score, but yeah.
For sure.
I mean, everything. It was one of those that everything that could go wrong did go wrong. I mean, even at the start of the game, they have their two first offensive possessions. You're settling for field goals. I even said to my buddy Tanner, who you know we were watching the game with, I was like, "You got to turn those field goals into touchdowns. You can't be leaving 8 points off the board against a team in the playoffs." I was like, "I know it's the Texans, but really the unit that stood out in this game, I mean, it was the Texans defense. Was just flustering Justin Herbert. I mean, Justin Herbert, what was his final passing on? 14 for 32.
Justin Herbert was." Yes, yep. 14
you
for 32.
It. 1-4.
One.
Unreal.
Four, like, sacked four times.
To have him play that poorly, I mean, it was just a few weeks ago that I was in this chair, in this studio, saying Justin Herbert, top five quarterback in the league, and you made him look pedestrian at best.
Yeah.
I mean, I was in total shock with how that game went.
I would have never thought that, you know, a Jim Harbaugh-led team would go into the playoffs and really lay an egg like that. Like, that was hard to watch. Like, and after the first quarter, you're like, okay, like, here's the chart. They haven't put a touchdown up, but two field goals, you're up six at the end of the first quarter. Like, okay, things are moving the right direction. And then all of a sudden, C.J. Stroud and company just kind of start laying it on them. But it was really, like you said, that defense just – they were everywhere, and they were you know, getting their hands on field goals. They were, you know, kind of tipping down passes. Like, they were doing a little bit of everything, and they were putting a lot of pressure on that offensive line and on Justin Herbert. And that's really why, like, Herbert was usually has a lot of time to get rid of the ball. That wasn't the case yesterday. He had to get rid of things really, really quick, and they made him uncomfortable the entire game. And on the other end, C.J. Stroud didn't seem uncomfortable, you know, at all. He had the one mistake in there with the interception, but outside of that, you know, he was able to kind of at least keep his team on the field. And then you got a beast in Joe Mixon, who they just – it seemed like he was just falling forward. Like, it wasn't – he couldn't stay on his feet, and he was just kind of and just fall forward. Oh, here's 6 yards. Oh, here's the first down. Whenever you got a guy like that, you can just give him the rock and say, go do work for us.
Well,
that's what he was able to do, and especially in that second half of the game, like, it was all Joe Mixon.
Well, and what really changed the trajectory and the feeling of this game was right before halftime, and I was saying it again to my buddy, I was like, you know how I'm getting older is that the field position battle gets me all worked up and gets me excited. I'm like, oh, yeah, what a punt. Oh, yeah. You got to flip the field here. Oh, yeah, you got to pin him deep.
You go for it right here.
Yeah.
You give him a chance right here. Yeah, that's the type of stuff you do now.
And as soon as the Chargers, they punt, they put the Texans at the one-yard line with, gosh, I don't know, a few minutes left in the first half, and I'm like, all right, well, Texans, they haven't done anything on offense, and now they got to go 99 yards. I'm like, this is, you know, you got to be feeling good at the Chargers. What did the Texans do? They go 99 yards, and they get a touchdown on the board to go up 7-6. And that's the other thing is, it's just like the first half, you were able to shut them down. And that's why I was like, you need to be turning these field goals into touchdowns. You need, it can't be leaving the points on the board. And before you know it, it's like, well, now Texans lead. And then you go three and out very quickly and give the Texans a chance to put up three more points before halftime. So now you're looking at 10-6 at halftime, and your offense, while it's been able to move the ball, hasn't been able to convert and put up touchdowns and get in the end zone. And then it was just, and then in that second half, I mean, this is the drive chart for the Chargers in the second half. Downs, punt, interception for a touchdown, interception, touchdown, interception.
Which that touchdown, by the way, turned into a two-point conversion on the defensive side because of the blocked extra points.
When's the last time you've seen one of those?
It's been a minute.
God, it's been like 10, 20 years. But again, can you bet on those? Because those odds would have been astronomical. Dang it.
Well, it's like even when they start to get a little bit sign of life, a little bit of momentum, big Ladd McConkey touchdown, who set the playoff rookie record for receiving yards yesterday, 197, by the way. Yeah, it's just like, all right, we get this extra point, we cut this to 10, then we can get a stop, score a touchdown, get a stop, field goal, tie this game, send it over. No, blocked field or blocked extra point, which Cameron Dicker, I don't know what he was doing, trying to knock the ball down as if it was a Hail Mary or something.
Like, bro, that's not how that works.
He literally knocked it down right into a Texans player's hand, who then housed it for the two points.
Yeah. He panicked and didn't know the rules.
He's a millionaire, but he still panicked. You know, you're supposed to not panic. You're supposed to be paid so well that your life is kind of precluded around making sure that you are in the zone in these moments. But yeah, he panicked. It's fine.
And this was Herbert's first playoff game. Correct or
no,
second?
Second. Okay. The second one was the Jaguars comeback.
Oh,
a
that's
few
right.
Years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think they were just D'Amico Ryans and they were ready. You know, they knew what they wanted to do and they pretty much did it. And really, it could have still been a game in the fourth quarter. Like if a couple things had to work out in the Chargers' favor, but getting that touchdown on the board, I think was going to do a lot for their confidence. And then the very next play, that blocked field goal came and completely changed the momentum for the Texans. And that's really when, at that point, it was like, okay, this game's over. And there were still, like, what, 10 minutes something to play, but you were kind of like, yeah, I don't think this is going to happen at this point.
It was a game going into the fourth quarter or before, I guess, the seconds expiring into that the end of the third quarter with that pick six happening. And what was that? Two interception drives in a row, as you pointed out, Joe, for the Chargers. Like, they just had a chance, and then it was almost kind of like the Ducks. Like, 5 minutes later against Ohio State, they didn't have a chance. And it's like, it's like Houston came in and was just like, you know what? I think I'm going to let Justin Herbert and Ladd McConkey beat us. Because you look at the box score, McConkey had almost 200 yards of Herbert's, 230, 40 passing yards on the receiving end. So essentially, as we've said all season long, the Chargers have no weapons other than Ladd McConkey.
All but 45 yards went to, you know, Ladd McConkey.
And Justin Herbert, you know, even with a little bit more pressure than he was used to all season, the Chargers have been really good on the offensive line at protecting him. He's taken almost no hurries or just one or two most of the time. He was still able to get the ball out, but they said, you know what, beat us this way because you're not going to beat us in any other way. And they were successful at it.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the receiving core for the Chargers. Ladd McConkey, 9 receptions, 197 and a touchdown. The next best stat line for the Chargers.
It's disgusting.
Will Dissly, 2 catches for 16 yards. He had just as many drops as he had catches. Mm-hmm. Tucker Fisk for 1 catch, 15 yards. I mean, Quentin Johnson, where the hell were you, bud? I mean,
that's a good question.
And, you know, I wonder why box score. I mean, Quentin Johnson did have a catch, but it was for like a yard. And maybe it was someone else who got it, but I could have sworn on that fourth down play that the Chargers tried to go to Quentin Johnson, where they finished, came up a few yards short on that. But
the stat sheet I'm looking at says Quentin Johnson had 5 targets, 0 catches.
Oh, my God. I mean, so, yeah, a lot of drops. I do remember a couple of times Quentin looking like a little
unless that was a drop, and they actually didn't count it as a catch. But, I mean, like, they went for it on that fourth down. in the second half and weren't able to get it. And I could have sworn that was a pass to Quentin Johnson. But, yeah, they reviewed it and they said that it wasn't incomplete. So there you go. So Quentin Johnson did have zero catches in that game.
At what point do you start planning your vacation if you're on the team that's clearly losing in the fourth quarter? There's 7 minutes left.
You look up to the stands and you see your agent or your wife and you're like,
yeah, make the
give the phone give motion. Calling.
Make the
start making the
guess
arrangements.
What? We even got to go back to San Diego. We'll stay or to me to L.A. Forgive me. We even got to go back to L.A. We can stay right here and we can leave from
go to
Houston.
Galveston.
Yeah, we can go to Galveston for for the
that
break.
Dirty ass water.
Yeah, gross. You don't want to go to Galveston for anything.
So the Texans advance. Who they will face, we will find out later today. But the other game. I mean, that went about as expected. The Ravens-Steelers, the Steelers the last 5 weeks now
have been
doo-doo.
Cheeks.
Yes. They, the last 5 weeks, have not put up more than 17 points total, I believe. T.J. Watt held without a stat, also defensively. The Ravens run for 299 yards on the ground. The Steelers eliminated a 9 out of that. 29 yards on the ground for the Steelers.
I mean, Derrick Henry was just otherworldly.
Yeah, this Ravens team is getting hot at the right time.
They're scary.
Yes, very scary. Very scary.
It was like 7 yards up the middle every time Derrick Henry touched the ball. And they didn't run him around the end until like the fourth quarter. It was just dominant.
When they
on
had that
end.
Fool in the Wildcat, I was like, oh no. Oh no, they're in trouble. That means he doesn't get a direct, he gets a direct snap and can do whatever he wants after that. Like, get out of here.
Yeah,
that's a problem.
26 carries for 186 for Derrick Henry yesterday. I mean, they were up 21-0. The Steelers, they tried to make it interesting, but it just never felt like they were going to come back in this game at all.
The best part is Steeler fans watching them freak out on social. Watching the whole, I don't know why I watch this game. Why I do this to myself.
So, we are literally, that's pretty fun. We're literally seeing the argument again. It's like, well, are the Steelers going to move on from Mike Tomlin? Why? What are you smoking?
I think
you
can all agree that Mike Tomlin's six, not the issue.
Straight playoff losses under Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin, though.
35 straight winning seasons under Mike Tomlin.
How many of those has since Ben Roethlisberger retired?
I'm going to say, well, it might include those because I remember the Steelers that 1 year they started off like 13-0 or 14. I think it was 13-0, lost the last three games, and then they lost their first game in the playoffs. So, I mean, these six straight playoff losses for the Steelers, it very well could include
one
of them with
Roethlisberger
because they lost to the Browns in that one playoff game with Baker Mayfield. Which I think, again, that was Roethlisberger was playing in that game. So, I don't know. There comes a point where, as Steelers fan, like, you are Sixburg. You have the most Super Bowls championships in NFL history. Well, not championships, because include those, actually, then the Green Bay Packers. But six Super Bowls. I mean, at what point does... Oh, we've had a bunch of winning seasons in a row and no playoff success to show for it in the last however many years. At what point does that narrative, like, you don't get a Lombardi trophy for the most winning seasons in a row for being for being good.
I think there's a lot that goes into that, though, without having a guy like a consistent trigger man like Ben Roethlisberger, you know, who you have for a long time. But let's be real, Big Ben's last 4 or 5 seasons
weren't that great.
Weren't awesome. He had one in between there. It was like, okay, maybe Ben's back. But outside of that, the last few seasons of Ben Roethlisberger wasn't great. And then after that, you had the Kenny Pickett era. And what was the other one? Who was the other quarterback that they had that was equally
Mason,
as terrible?
Mason Rudolph.
Like, you know, monuments of nothingness, you know, that you had as far as the quarterback position, you know, there. So now you got Russ, and Russ wasn't great this year, but he didn't make a lot of mistakes as far as throwing interceptions or anything like that. I just don't think they had the horses that you would expect for a winning team like the Steelers. So I think there's a lot that went into it. I think having mature Russell Wilson there, maybe a little sort, maybe a little delusional in what he can do now. Like, there was a point last night in the game where one of the announcers was like, he's trying to be old Russell Wilson. And I think old Russell Wilson is gone. You know, we're not going to see that guy anymore. But if you need a guy that can get you a quick 2 or 3 yards on a scramble or something like that, I think that might be right around where he is. But trying to expect him to go for a on third and long and scramble for 7, 9, 12 yards, whatever the case is, I don't think he's that guy anymore. But then you can't put in – you can put Fields in?
No.
Right? And I think that's the rub to it. It's like, yeah, Russ wasn't playing great, but you're going to put in Justin Fields? He's going to win you some games?
I am so frustrated in the world of sports how fans and GMs and coaches sometimes get shiny new thing syndrome. You got to look at the history of this team, right? You talk about their Super Bowl wins. They have had 3 coaches since 1969. And I guarantee you, if and when they move on from Mike Tomlin, that will start the cavalcade of coaches being, you know, oh, 2-year guys, a tenure for a season and a half before you're forced to do an in-season firing for the first time, I'm sure, ever in Steelers football history. Like, you be careful what you wish for, because you just might get it. And I'm telling you, a post-Mike Tomlin world for the Steelers is not good. The dude is still in his early 50s. He's got 15 years left in the league to be a head coach. I guarantee you, if he's gone from Pittsburgh, someone will snatch him up like that. It is the stupidest consideration ever that he even puts them in the position to get to the playoffs in the first place, and then they're like, ah, it's his fault that they're not winning it. No, it's freaking not. The NFL's hard, and if you're telling me that there's a guy somewhere in the league that's going to take the crap that they've had on the offensive side of the ball in Pittsburgh and make it into something better than Tomlin has, show him to me. Please, tell me.
Well, we don't know that. I mean, there very well could be. And I wonder how long you – I mean, 6 straight playoff losses. I mean, that is the Steelers who have seen – was it 2005? You saw 2008. That was the second year of Mike Tomlin, which a lot of people – I mean, they've gone back and said, like, all right, well, he won that with Cowers guys.
Oh, God, yeah. It's like the new president taking over for the old one.
Well, jeez. I mean, Mark Helfrich took a team to a national championship, right?
That was literally the next year. This was 2 years later with Mike Tomlin. He did establish some kind of culture there.
But I think what happened is I think Howard established a culture that Tomlin was like, okay, this works. He did. At any time, Bill Cowher never had the very best of anything at any position. Like, the bus was a great running back, but I don't think anybody ever considered Jerome Bettis the best running back in the league. Roethlisberger was a good quarterback, but I don't think anybody at any point ever considered him the best. Hines Ward was still not in the Hall of Fame. Nobody's ever considered Hines Ward, you know, the best at anything, but he had really good pieces offensively and defensively that you were able to go out there and win a game with. You look at this Pittsburgh team, and they haven't had those pieces since Antonio Brown left.
You know who Mike Tomlin is?
Huh?
Look at this. You see this picture right here, Rashad?
Don't do that. Don't do that.
Mike Tomlin is the Doc Rivers of the NFL.
Because guess what? They're still talking about who exactly is a Hall of Famer from that Pittsburgh team that won a championship. And Doc Rivers has had nothing but Hall of Famers at every stop. He had Grant Hill and Tracy McGrady at one point. And then he turned around and had
T.J. Watt's a Hall of Famer.
Okay.
Cameron Hayward's a Hall of Famer.
That's one. They're on the team. Like, there's a couple on the team. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, it's one of those things. Doc Rivers, everywhere he went, had championship all-time players, no matter what team he was coaching for, every single time.
Yeah, I wonder how much longer the Steelers are going to be happy with, hey, we were good enough to make the playoffs, but then we flamed out in the playoffs yet again.
I mean, I think as long as they just keep making the playoffs, I think that's the only thing that matters, you know, at this point. As long as they keep having 8-8s or, you know, 9-8 seasons or whatever, I think Pittsburgh is always going to be, and Tomlin's always going to be in everybody's good graces, because where are you, like Jordan was saying, like, who's another coach you can hire like right now that's going to be as good as Mike Tomlin? Show me. Like, I don't know if he's out there.
They can have Mike McCarthy.
Oh, hey, man, I mean, Gerard Mayo's available.
Ben Johnson, who's probably the top candidate, the Detroit Lions offensive coordinator.
Why hasn't Byron Leftwich been hired yet?
Well, there you go. He's not going to take the job in Pittsburgh. He's going to take, you know, like a Chicago gig or somewhere where they've got a stud quarterback. So unless Pittsburgh all of a sudden gets the top overall pick, you're not getting the hot coaching candidate. Yes, you've got a great organization, but it's not going to get you the top young guy or whoever, you know, fans are going to want.